Ezekiel chapter 33. When we all get to heaven, we just sang that song, and I want to ask you a question, and I'm not trying to be unkind, and I'm not trying to sound better than anybody, but can you sing that song? Are you going to heaven? He said, well, Pastor, everybody's going to heaven. Well, I think we all know that that's not possible. The Bible says there's a heaven, and then what else is there? There's a hell. And if there is a heaven, well, let's just put it this way. Everybody believes in heaven, but you know where we get heaven from? We get heaven from the Bible. There's no other place that tells us. There's nothing else on planet Earth that really assures us there's a heaven than just the Bible and maybe our own conscious nature of knowing that God is right. Well, you know why we believe there's a hell? Because the Bible, same book, okay? So we just think when we all get to heaven. Now, those of us who are saved, and being saved is not being baptized. Being saved is not being a member of this church. Being saved is simply being born again and trusting in Christ for salvation. And we'll talk about that more today, and I can be more than happy to sit with you and talk with you a lot about it. But those of us who are saved, we can sing when we all get to heaven, and we will see Jesus. And that's the reason why we can sing it and be glad for it. But in Ezekiel chapter 33, I was reading my Bible reading, you know, my Bible reading calendar. This is what I read this week. I read Ezekiel 33. And as I read it, I knew that this is what we needed to look at today. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So he talks about a watchman, and how that a watchman with a trumpet is to warn the people when danger comes. Verse 7 says, So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. God says, just like a watchman on a wall with a trumpet, if I tell you that you're going to die, and who in here is not going to die? We're all going to die. We're human. And you're not warned, and the watchman does not warn, then that watchman is guilty of not warning like they should have warned. Verse 9, Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Let me stop here and say that again. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God is not interested in anyone dying and going to hell. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is why God's even giving this to us, because God wants someone to blow the trumpet and warn people of what's coming. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Verse 11, But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Now let me read that again in case you thought it was a mistake. The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. The Bible is telling us that the wicked will die and be in trouble. The Bible is also telling us that the righteous cannot trust in their own righteousness. In fact, verse 13 it says, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. I hope you understand what the Bible's saying here. And we're going to go through it one by one and hopefully be able to give it to you point by point. First of all, if there were no danger, then there wouldn't be a need for a watchman. If there were no danger, then why would God make a big deal about this? There must be a danger. What is the danger? The danger is that people, all of us, have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, big deal, we're all sinners. But the Bible also says in Romans chapter 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. Wages are payment. Wages are what you have coming to you. And since all of us are sinners, all of us have death coming to us. The Bible goes on to say that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so what I want you to understand is that there is a, number one, a responsibility of the watchman. If you've got a pen and you're taking notes and filling in the blanks in our outline, there is the responsibility of the watchman. The watchman, verse 2, speak to the children of Israel. Take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman. He's been set apart to be the watchman. He's been set apart to be someone that is the warning person, the person who is warning. So there is the responsibility of the watchman. However, only saved people can be a watchman. You couldn't possibly tell someone how to escape hell unless you've escaped it yourself first. Unless you are saved and on your way to heaven, there's no way that you can tell someone else how to escape it. But here's the thing. If you are around someone who is saved, that person's job, that person's responsibility is to tell you how to be saved. And I want to, first of all, preach to the Christians right here. I want to preach to the people who say they're saved and they're on their way to heaven. Because you have a responsibility as a watchman. God has placed you as a watchman. You say, what do you mean? Aren't you the preacher? Aren't you supposed to be the one that blows the trumpet? Aren't you? That's your job, Pastor. You're supposed to be the watchman. You're right. I'm supposed to be a watchman. But I'm not the only watchman. You know, there are people that you work with that I'll probably never meet because I don't work at your job. And so I'll never meet them. There are people that just came in from, I think, Wall. You know how often I get to Wall? Hardly ever. Been there, done that. There are people in here that are from Hill City. I don't live in Hill City. I drive through it, but I don't live there. You know what? There are people in your life, there are relatives in your life, there are family in your life that you know, that you come in contact with, that you rub shoulders with, and you're their watchman. And the responsibility of the saved watchman is number one, letter A, to hear the word of God. Verse number 7. It says, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman in the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. Let me tell you, if you're saved, you should be in church. You should be where the Bible is getting preached and taught. You should be reading the word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that we're to continue in the things that we have heard. I don't care who you are. I've got a diploma in my office that says I graduated from a Bible college. I actually spent money to graduate from a Bible college. You know what that means? Nothing. Because if I say,
I have a diploma, I don't need to read the Bible anymore. I've already passed that course.
The Bible's not a college course that you pass. The Bible's a life course that you never quite pass till you get to heaven. That's why we have a reading calendar. Because we're to read this every day. We're to meditate on the Word of God. And if you're not hearing the Bible, you can't possibly be a good watchman. Because if you're not hearing the Word, you don't know when to blow the trumpet. And so if you're a Christian today, if you're born again, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, don't ever think that you've arrived and you no longer need to hear the Word of God. The Bible says in James chapter 1, don't just be hearers of the Word, but be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Now, not only hearing then, but what's the obvious? To warn. We're to hear the Word of God ourselves and to warn others of what's coming. There's an impending danger coming. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Those of us who are saved, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give answer to what we've done. Earlier this week, I bought a car. I bought a car from a man who found out I was a Christian. I was a pastor. He wanted to talk life. He wanted to talk about life. He wanted to talk about serious things. And I realized that. All of a sudden, something told me, this guy wants to talk. He doesn't just want to sell a car. He wants to talk. My wife had already given him one track, but I sat there for a while, and we just talked. We just talked about life. And I tried to witness to him. And I gave him a different track to read. I planned to go back and to give him something else and to talk to him some more. Why? Because right then and there, I realized that I'm the watchman for this guy. I'm not sure if this guy understands salvation, and I want to make sure he understands. There's a question I didn't ask him, and I maybe God didn't want me to ask him. Maybe it's supposed to be for the next time. But there's a question I didn't ask him, but I'm going to ask him the next time we talk. If you died today, where would you go? That's kind of like blowing the trumpet. Because the truth is, we're all going to die. Where are you going? It's either heaven or hell. And, of course, everyone says, well, I hope so. I think, listen, it's coming. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 11, that there is the great white throne judgment where mankind who are not saved will stand before God. They'll be judged according to the books. In Acts chapter 20, if you're a Christian, please turn to Acts chapter 20 with me. I want to show you something. Acts chapter 20, this is what Paul said, and I hope that I can say the same thing. Acts chapter 20 and verse 26. Paul says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Paul, let me just read that again. Verse number 26. I am pure from the blood of all men. You know what Paul's talking about? He's talking about Ezekiel. He's saying, I am clean from the blood of all men. All the men that God placed in my life, I have warned them. Listen to me. Last week, our community lost two people. Last week, our community lost two people to death. One got saved. And then later got baptized right here. And they're in heaven. One I do not know. When I heard of the one that took his own life, I immediately was very, very sobered and sorrowful in my own spirit, knowing that I didn't blow the trumpet very loud. Do you know what I'm saying? I blew it. I handed him some things to read. I invited him to church. I talked to him. But I wished I'd have just said, hey, if you died today, where would you go? And the guy might have said, get out of my face. I don't want to talk to you. But I wished I'd asked him. I can't ask him now. He's gone. But I'm asking you in here. You see, it says in verse 8, back in Ezekiel 33:8, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You didn't warn them. You didn't tell them. You didn't make them feel their responsibility to God. And it's hard for us because we are selfish and self-centered people. And the truth is, trumpets are obnoxious. Oh, man, that was loud. Oh, I was enjoying my restful peace and quiet, and you just blasted that thing. How obnoxious can you get? Enjoying your little life, and all of a sudden some Christian walks in and says, hey, if you died today, where'd you go? Oh! What'd you mess up my life for like that? Trumpets are obnoxious. I love the testimony of the man on George Street. Every day, talking to people there in Australia? Sydney, Australia. Handing people tracts and asking them about their salvation. And some of the people that got saved, they said, he was such a spiteful little old man. He wasn't. He was such an obnoxious little old man. He asked me a question, and it bothered me the rest of my trip in Australia. It's just the watchman blowing the trumpet. That preacher, I wanted a nice, fluffy, flowery, soft sermon, and he preached right at me. Well, you know what? Watchmen are not supposed to go, yoo-hoo, hope it's not going to bother you, but you're in trouble. If your house is on fire, do you want someone to knock on your door like this? You want someone to beat down the door. Let me stop here and tell you something that I find amazing. You can look it up and watch it. You can watch the video yourself. You can Google it. It's not hard to find. There's a guy named Penn Jillette. What a name. Penn Jillette. He's a magician. He does a magician show with another guy. I can't remember the name of the other guy. Thank you. Penn and Teller or something like that. Penn Jillette's an atheist. After one of his magic shows, he and Teller go out in the crowd, and they talk to the people. And one guy that they had used in their magic show was standing there off to the side waiting, and he still had some of the props that they give away in his hand. But in his other hand, he had his little book. Pulled the book out, and it was a Gideon New Testament Psalms. He said, Mr. Jillette, he said, I really appreciate your show. You're a really good magician, and it was entertaining. But there's something you got to have, and I hope you'll take this from me, and I hope you'll read it, because I want you to read it and know about my Savior. In the front of it was a little note, personal note written to Penn Jillette. Penn Jillette got his camera out, his video camera out, and he said, he's got this long hair. He's an atheist. He said, you know, he said, I met a really nice guy tonight. And he told me what I just told you. He said, I want you to know something. The guy was really nice. He was polite. He looked me right in the eye, and I can tell he meant every word he said. And I appreciate him. Now, I totally disagree with him. I totally disagree with him. I don't believe in his God. I don't believe in heaven and hell. I don't believe in it. But I appreciate him. And he said this. This is the part I want you to understand. Penn Jillette said, and I'd have no respect for people who aren't trying to proselytize. Because if you say you believe in heaven and hell, then why aren't you trying to tell people about it? An atheist named Penn Jillette, whose voice is on Toy Story, looked in the camera and said, if you really believe what you say you believe, Christians, you should be like this guy. Because if you really believe that I'm going to die, Penn Jillette said, he said this. He said, if I saw a truck headed for you and I couldn't get your attention, he said, I'd tackle you to get you out of the way of that truck. He said, and this is eternity. This is a bigger deal than that. I mean, Penn Jillette saying this. And he's not even a Christian. Do you see what I'm saying to you today, Christian? If you're a Christian, you should be more obnoxious than not in the right way. If the only thing that's bothering them is the fact you blasted the trumpet, well, that's not really your fault. And so let me go on quickly here. The wicked's sad condition. They're all dying. It says in verse 8, they're dying. Jesus said in Luke 13, you hear about these people that die. You hear about someone who died last week or COVID cases, the people die, whatever it might be. Listen, everybody's dying. The truth is, you right now are closer to death than you've ever been. You say, I had a near-death experience. You're having one right now. You're closer to death right now than you've ever been. We're all close to death. We're all dying. No one can stop it from happening. The sad condition is that sin, the wages of sin, is death. And so the sad condition is that we need the mercy from God's wrath. The Bible says in John 3:36, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. You can have the Son and have eternal life, but if you don't take the Son, the wrath of God abides on you. John chapter 3 says you're condemned already. This is why we don't like to talk about death. This is why a lot of people skip funerals, because death is a subject they don't know how to handle. You might find this surprising, but I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, funerals are some of the sweetest experiences I've ever had. You say, why? Because I know where that person's body lay in the casket, I know where they are. They were a Christian. They're in heaven. I'll see them again. And for the funeral of a Christian, it's never goodbye, it's just see you later. But the sad condition of the unsaved is that you don't have that hope. And may I tell you that the graduated from high school, riding his motorcycle too fast around the curves and killed himself, and his family did not know the Lord, and I sat in the very back row and I watched some religious guy with his long robe on trying to say something that was supposed to make everybody feel good, and nobody was feeling good. And the sister was bawling, the other brother was bawling, the parents were beside themselves. And I sat back there, not hardly knowing them at all, and I wept. Sad. That's the sad condition. And that's why they've got to be warned. And you know what's really sad? They're self-righteous. Let me read that to you again. Verse 12 and 13. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him. Even if you've got some righteousness, it's not good enough. Verse 13. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. You say, well, Pastor, if our righteousness can't even save us, then how in the world, why even bother? This is the conclusion that a lot of people that have grown up in religion have come to. Because if you grow up in a church that isn't following the Word of God, and they're following tradition, and they're telling you that you got to be baptized and homogenized and pasteurized and catechized and all that stuff, you got to be all that, and they're telling you you've got to go through all this, you got to go through catechism, you got to go through catechism, and then you got to go through the six steps or the seven steps or the sacraments or this or that or whatever, and you got to do all these things, and then maybe you'll skip purgatory, and maybe. Does that sound comforting? Does that sound hopeful? It's sad. Salvation and repentance is when you're putting all your weight on this chair right here, Okay? Let's say this chair is Catholicism. Catholic. Let's say this chair is Mormonism. Let's say this chair is self-righteousness. Let's call this chair anything you want to call it, except for the truth. A lot of people are trusting in that. They're hoping in that. That's their hope, is in their religion, their way. Let's say this chair over here is Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Salvation is when you look down and say, this one's not going to do. I'm going to fall and be destroyed. But I look over and see Jesus Christ and His righteousness, and I stand on Him and Him alone. You see, there are Christians that are on their way to heaven that used to be on their way to hell. They used to be drunks. Used to be in prison. Cheaters and liars. Thieves, maybe murderers. And they looked down at self-righteousness and said, there's no way I'm going to make it. And even if I do all the sacraments, and even if I get baptized 100 times, there's no way I'm going to. But if I look over and say, Jesus Christ can do it, and Jesus Christ's righteousness can hold me, that's salvation. But self-righteousness won't cut it. Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, Paul was lamenting. He says, my countrymen, my Jewish brethren, my Israeli brethren, they have a zeal for God and for things, but not according to knowledge. And being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's righteousness has to be submitted to. It's easier for children to understand this than for adults. Because an adult says, well, I'm not that bad of a person. And if I'll just do better, it'll outweigh my bad. God will have a scale, and I'll be able to. It won't work, friend. God's not impressed with any of my righteousness. There was a publican and a Pharisee. And the Pharisee prayed, Lord, I thank you that I am a good person. And the publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the publican got salvation through humble admission that I'm a sinner and I need your salvation. And the Pharisee got nothing. And so the sad condition is a self-righteousness. A self-righteousness, a lot of times, your worst enemy are the people who praise you. Rich people love to do things, and they like to do them a lot of times in public, and they get pats on the back, and oh, what a wonderful person for our community. Listen to me, they might be a wonderful person in the community, and maybe they've given a lot of things to charity, and maybe they've done a lot of this and a lot of that, and they got their name etched in stone somewhere. But none of that will save them. And it won't save you either. The responsibility of the wicked, unsaved people. And when I say wicked, if you're unsaved, you'll just be lumped in with them. There isn't different hells. There's only one hell. You have to repent. Turn to God from whatever else you're trusting in. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. And if you say, well, I'd listen and I'd think about getting saved, but I don't like you, Pastor Matt. I think you're obnoxious. There's a lot of people that do, actually. I'm sorry. That's kind of born that way, and it's just one of my characteristics that need to be worked on. And when you blast the trumpet, it's a little off key. Again, I'm sorry. And when you banged on my door to tell me that my house was on fire, I was having the best dream of my life, and you ruined that. It's silly when people point at the trumpet blower and make the excuse that they're not going to listen because they don't like the trumpet blower. Some people at work, they say, well, he's telling me how I need to get saved, but he's not perfect. I heard him do this or that, or I know. Hey, you know what? That's silly, isn't it? If the wicked are coming, if the damnation is coming, if the danger is there, and you point at the trumpet blower and say, well, I just don't like the way you're handling your job. That's silly. And the last thing I want you to understand is the love of the Lord. He says, take warning, verse 5. Take the warning and deliver your soul. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some people say, if God was so loving, why did he make a hell? God made the hell for the devil and his angels. And God never, ever wants anyone to go there. But if you will reject Jesus Christ, you don't have life. And he has no choice but to add you in with the devil. And the lie of Satan is you just be religious and you'll be fine. We give out these books. If you didn't get one today, you can have one. These books are called Done. Done is different than doing. Doing is present tense action. Done is past tense completed. Salvation is done, not doing. Those of us who are saved, we're saved because we trust in the one who did it on the cross for us. And those of us here that came today and were already saved, we didn't come so we can stay saved. You know, God, see me, I'm in church. Got a tie on. I'm in church. I get to stay saved, right? No, 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 no. No, no. That's not the Bible. The Bible doesn't tell us we have to go to church to stay saved. I told you why we should go to church, so that we can keep hearing the word, to keep blasting the trumpet for others. You see, Stephanie's not going to give a sermon today. She's very glad. But really, Stephanie is giving a sermon today. Because she publicly is saying, I got saved, and I want everybody to see that I'm a believer. And if you're here Wednesday, you heard her husband give his testimony of how he said at the beginning of this year, January, he said, babe, is that what you said? Babe, 2020 is our year. He's over in Wyoming working at the oil fields, you know, making good money. 2020 is our year. Boom! We all know what happened. And oil field job, gone. Hill City Lumberyard. It's not the same pay as the oil field. Everything seemed to unravel. But a couple months ago, they walked into church. And about a month after that, Stephanie got saved. And now she's getting baptized today. And we've been going through Bible studies every week. And you know what he said Wednesday? He said, guess what, Pastor? 2020 is our year. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it could be that God used Stephanie and her baptism to bring someone here to see this and to say, wow, look at that crazy guy up there waving his arms and talking about blowing trumpets. But if it gets you to listen to the truth, that's what it's about. God's not willing. He doesn't want anyone to die and go to hell. He wants us to blast the trumpet. And Christian, shame on you if you're letting this world and the fear of what's going on in this world to keep you from blasting your trumpet. We should be warning people. We should be on the wall blasting our horns and saying, please, somebody listen, please. Oh, I know, there's lots of people that will laugh at you, make fun of you, talk about how you don't blow it right and all that stuff. But I'm so glad every once in a while when somebody listens. 2 weeks ago, we saw another young mom get baptized. We're going to see some more baptisms probably in the future. We have people getting saved and added to the church and baptized. Praise the Lord for that. But listen, it never, ever stops. You know why? Because there's so many people out there that are going the wrong way. There's so many people out there that are on their way to hell. They don't even know it. They haven't even thought about it. And if you're here today and you thought, well, Pastor, I was always told that you just got to be real good and you got to go to church as much as you can and you obey the Ten Commandments, and as long as you do all that, then God will probably take you to heaven. I'm telling you right now, the Bible says the wages of sin is death and that salvation is a gift of God. Mikey, salvation is not doing anything. Salvation is a gift. And I think Mikey's old enough to understand. I think Wesley's old enough to understand this, and everybody else in here too. If I were to give you this pen today, and I said, Shrita, I want to give you this nice, expensive pen. You know what? If she takes it, it's hers. But if I say, Shrita, all I ask is that every week you use it to write me a nice note. Or you use it to write down, or you use it to sign my paycheck. You know what? It's now a deal. That's not a gift. Christmas comes along and you got a present with your name on it and you open it, and as you're opening it, your spouse says, now, as long as you behave, you can keep that. That's not a gift. A gift is what? It's free. A gift has no strings attached. Those of us that are saved, we're not saved because we're doing stuff. We're saved because we received Jesus Christ. We trust in Him and Him alone. And some of us, we have really blown it. We have really done some stupid things since we got saved. One example is Stephanie's husband. I'm not trying to pick on him, but Tyler got saved a long time ago. But he just wasn't quite going the right way. But Tyler never lost his salvation during the entire time. And God never forgot who Tyler was. Isn't that awesome? And I'm telling you, if you're not saved, I'm just trying to blast the trumpet. I'm just trying to let you know you need to be, because you're going to die without Christ, and that's not an option. You need to be born again. If that spoke to your heart today, please talk to me or my wife after church in private. I'll be glad to visit with you. Please don't leave not knowing the answers to your question. If you are a Christian already, but you can't remember the last time you talked to someone about Jesus Christ, I'd say it's been too long. If you can't even remember the last time you saw someone get saved, and you don't even know if there's anybody on their way to heaven because of your blowing the trumpet and warning, I'd say you need to get there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to pray. I'll ask Stephanie to go ahead and get to the closet where she can get ready. But let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. Heads bowed. Would there be someone that would say, Pastor, I don't know if I died today I'd be in heaven, but if you or your wife could show me from the Bible, I'd be glad to listen. Would there be someone that would raise your hand right now and say, that's me, Pastor. I'd like to talk to you or your wife or someone about salvation. Would there be anybody? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Somebody raise their hand. How about you? If you raise your hand, will you look at me just real quick? Right after church, will you talk with? It'd be great. And if you're saved, you're a Christian, can you think of somebody right now that you know God wants you to talk to them? Then you better do it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the warning. Help us to stop being selfish. Help us to hear from an atheist how hypocritical we are when we say we believe something but we don't act like it and share it. Lord, help us to not be hypocrites, but to really say and to put our mouth to what we say we believe, and to win people and to blow the trumpet and see people added to the family. Thank you, God, for the one who raised their hand wanting to know more. And thank you for others who are thinking and listening. Help them to not ignore the trumpet. And thank you for Stephanie's salvation and our baptism, and for Tyler getting saved so many years ago and getting right with you. Help us, God, to see more and more added to the kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Bob to come. He's going to lead in a song. Just stay right there if you would, please. And we will...